What do you see on this picture? This is what war looks like. Now, before visiting the most cruel, the most heartbreaking war in modern times, I need to do a little introduction. Just before the Turkish army invaded Syria, I was in Sanli Urfa. I had a special interest in the brand new modern archaeological museum of the city. And here you look at some of the exhibits. I wanted to view the exhibition of the oldest archaeological discoveries in the world. And I found it. In the same museum, I found this stele. And this is a stele of a Babylonian king called Nabonidus. Now, the names of him and his son, Belshazzar, were among the greatest discoveries in archaeology. I'll tell you why. They were denied by the scholars of ever existing. I found them on a clay cylinder, the names. The latest excavations here at Haran, we're still in Turkey, matches the times of the Sumerians and the time of Abram. So they were on the scene of action at the same time in antiquity. So Abram knew about Haran, surroundings, and of Göbekli Tepe. This old patriarch was here, Abram, at this well. Rebekah, Isaac's wife, drank from the water of this ancient well. And what's more, this is where Jacob fell in love with Rachel, the ancient well of Haran. So this well is telling a story. After the war in Syria broke out in 2011, I was prevented from researching these sites. And I think Syria is an archaeological paradise. There's still a lot of stuff still to be excavated, and I hope it's going to happen now. And years gone by, we did filming on the Syrian site of Karkamish, and Andre Brink is quite a famous photographer. I read on the internet that tourists are invited to come and visit the new archaeological park of Karkamish, covering both Turkey and Syria. Man, we have expectations. I couldn't sleep. I needed to see the new excavations. And this is one of the most important sites in the history of the ancient world. So many things happened here at Charablus is one name and Karkamish the other name. I could see myself recently visiting the tell in the background. There you can see it. And again, read the translations of the ancient clay tablets. Syria is exciting. When I saw the sign, I was coming from the Turkish side, directing us to the Turkish side of Karkamish. My heart started to beat like a child when its birthday was near Karkamish. You know, I love archaeology. I love Bible stories. 7:24. You can get petrol there anytime. Some more clues. We're heading in the right direction. We have to get to the border in order to enter this new archaeological park. And you're even invited to buy property on this side of the historic site. You know, this is worn, torn country. They want you to buy property here. Within seconds, we would enter the famous new archaeological park. My pulse went up to dangerous levels when I saw the entrance to the site. Oh, but minutes later, it dropped to a dangerous low level when they said ISIL is still a threat. Their dream and my dream were shattered. We decided to drive to a quiet spot next to the Euphrates and do some recordings. On our way, we passed the cemetery. Do you visit cemeteries? Man, this is an interesting place to visit. Read what it says there. A thought came to me. When your dream does not come true, when anticipation has died, just bury it. Make your own graveyard and bury the stuff. I've got many tombstones. I had to bury many grudges. Next to the building that ISIL destroyed, and you can see it here, it's next to the bridge. The Syrians built a brand new one. You have to rebuild all the time because an enemy destroys all the time. Another lesson. If the enemy destroyed your ambitions, build a new one. As I travel through these countries, I learn lessons. It speaks to my heart. What a peaceful moment next to the historic Euphrates River. Can you hear the soothing melody of the water? We met two refugees here from Aleppo. I showed you a picture of Aleppo in the beginning of the lecture, and I listened to their story. The destruction took place during the past 8 years. Bombs upon bombs. People living in fear, increasing the refugees' crisis. This is a picture I took of the citadel at Aleppo some time ago. One time I was here and I saw rubbish coming down through a pipe and I realized they discovered something up there. So I went up there. Now, look at this picture. This was taken when I was there on one of my visits. And look at this one. This is what it looks like now. Who's behind this uncalled for destruction of the beautiful, the valuable, the historical masterpieces? You know, I want to cry when I see this. Who's responsible for the death of hundreds of thousands of people who died or fled Syria? My dear Syrian friend, I've got something to share with you. Not only the lives of people were stripped of dignity and security, this tree is a symbol of maybe the world's greatest calamity. Look at the bombs that destroyed the surroundings, and then they destroyed the tree. What is happening in our world? Look at this picture. He says, where are my loved ones? Where's mommy? Where's daddy? Where's my brothers? Where's my sisters? Who is to blame for the plight of this little orphan? Another picture of Aleppo. Some are asking the question, where was God when ISIL destroyed Aleppo? What did he do to help the crying and the dying? Since 2011, civil war and conflict between the government of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, Syrian opposition forces, and ISIS have resulted, listen to this, in more than 200,000 deaths. And of course, more than half of the country's population of 22 million citizens to flee their homes. Does it register with you? The mass displacement of the Syrian people, the worst humanitarian crisis of our time. I'm thinking and you're thinking. I'm asking and you're asking. Now this is on a lighter note. If you're not a South African, you wouldn't know what this man is trying to tell you. He says in Afrikaans, give a gift to your mother-in-law. You know, I took this picture of one of the hundreds of shopkeepers in the biggest souk in the world, the biggest bazaar. It was a feast to walk through it. Here you see two pictures, before and after. What a contrast to what the souk used to look like and its present junk status. People are asking questions. Who is to be blamed for the human disaster? I will tell you, after visiting a few famous battlefields in the history of Syria, I'm going to reveal him to you, the enemy, the greatest one of the Syrian people. Eridu. These ruins used to be a temple of great magnificence. On a clay tablet at Enmerkar, the hero of Eridu writes about the golden age of Sumer. So the ruins you saw used to look like this. War devastated the beautiful cities of ancient Sumer. This is positive. The first 11 lines describe the Edenic perfection with no crimes, no enemies. And then he refers, this is in Merkar, then he refers to one universal language. You, that must be a feast, man. Only one language. The evil Sumerian god Enki introduced disharmony. So from peace to war, disharmony. A little later we will look at another source that confirms these facts. On one of my visits to Syria, I made an exciting discovery on top of the citadel at Aleppo. I was so happy. I was so happy. I cannot tell you everything. I'll just give you a few thoughts. You know, we thought in our studies that there could be some reference to the Hittites on the citadel. And we found it. I've got the image. We took pictures of it. And here it tells of the famous war between Shalmaneser III and a coalition where Syria was part of the great coalition. This was the war of 853 at Karkar next to the Orontos. It's quite a challenge to get to some of these places. At the water I said to the guide, I want to visit Karkar. He looked at me and said, Karkar? I've never heard the name. So I had to educate him. Fortunately, we found the place, the site. And the second time, we did a bit better. Here's a clay tablet that was discovered, mentioning all the kings who ruled the empire, the Assyrian king list. And then you can compare it to the Assyrian with the Syrian king list and the Egyptian king list and the Sumerian king list. And this makes archaeology one of the greatest signs there is. We have to learn from the past in order to face the future. So one of them was called Shalmaneser III. There was a king called Ashurbanipal. He collected every bit of clay tablets that he could find. And he built up a huge library here at Nineveh. And he writes, Shalmaneser crossed both the Tigris and the Euphrates without any incidents. He was going to conquer the Levant. That's Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Palestine. He was going to conquer that entire place, and receiving the submission and tribute of several cities along the way, including Aleppo. So here he comes to Aleppo, says, you're a vassal, you have to pay. And he was going to destroy 11 nations. at Karkar. Now, ISIL was not the first to conquer Aleppo. As I said, Shalmaneser before destroyed Aleppo. This poor city, when I study the history of this place. By the way, Abram was also here. Aleppo means the place of the white cow, of Abram. Another interesting city in Syria, Hamat. When Shalmaneser came here, he plundered both the palaces and the cities of the Erulenes kingdom. He continued his march after having sacked Karkar. There was nothing left. He encountered the allied forces near the Orontes River. Let's move there. Man, this is a feast. What is the message of this stone in my hand? What does he tell us of Karkar? He says, this is the stone. He was confronted by the Syrian king Ben-Hadad II of Damascus. But that's not all. He was also confronted by, guess who? Ahab of Israel. What? So there was a real Ahab. We were so excited when we discovered this. For the first time, the name of an Israelite king was mentioned outside of the Bible. The year 854 is notable for having a larger number of combatants than any previous battle. So Syria has got the history of the largest ancient battle in history. And this, at the same time, was the first instance which certain people enter into recorded history. Syria is giving us history that was never recorded before, and it is still there. And you know what? I think an enemy is behind the disaster of Syria to destroy this valuable information that confirms the authenticity of the Bible. Now, this stele, we call it the Kurk stele, was discovered in Turkey, next to the Tigris River, and what a discovery, the Kurk stele. And when they read this, at the back you can also read it, when they went through it, they came upon the name Petor. That's the place from where Balaam came. But they also found in Aramaic the words Ahabu Matzerilu. Do you know what it means? I am the king of Israel for the first time. Shalmaneser boasts that his troops inflicted 14,000 casualties upon the allied army, capturing countless chariots and horses, and describes the damage he inflicted on his opponents in savage detail. Comes from Syria, reveals the character of the ancient Assyrian world. This is nothing. You should read the rest of the story of the Assyrian cruelty. The Syrian soil is saturated with the blood of so many of their people who died over the centuries. Who was behind Shalmaneser's massacre? You know, the wind was so strong when I visited the place during my second visit. First visit, there was no wind, but I was almost blown away. I had to grab this, the strong caretaker, to keep me on my feet. I'm a lightweight and he's a heavyweight. I've met so many wonderful Syrians during my visits to the archaeological sites. You know, we are brainwashed. People telling us, these people are wicked. These people are dangerous. I haven't found them. I found kind people in Syria. Why are wicked people usually in the majority? Let's visit another site. The Battle of Kadesh. Kadesh means holy. It's an interesting word. This is the battlefield of Kadesh in Syria. The battle is dated to 1274. It is the earliest battle recorded in history, for which details and tactics and formations, military formations, are known. We've got it. I'm looking over the battlefield of Kadesh in Syria. Kadesh is believed to have been the largest chariot battle ever fought, involving between 5,000 and 6,000 chariots in total. What is so important about this battle? What did Ramses II write on the walls of Abu Simbel after returning from the battlefield of Kadesh? Look at this. He recorded this on the walls of the Ramesseum at Luxor, also at Abu Simbel. You see pictures of him there, sitting on his chariot, killing the Hittites by the thousands. He says in this inscription, "I destroyed 7,500 Hittite chariots with their driver. I alone." Well, that's nonsense, man. Sometimes we change our disaster into the hyperbole. We over-exaggerate. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not. You know, there is a universal urge in us to be heroes. We want to be a hero. We want to be prominent. We don't want to be servants. By the way, this is the best position you can have, to be a servant of the needs of people. Look at this. Look at this. A Ramesseum of Ramses II. A poem was written on the statue in the background. Can you see it lying over there? Huge, colossal. Keats wrote this. "I met a traveller from antique land who said, 'Two vast and trunk legs of stone stand in the desert. Nearer them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them, and the heart that fed, and on the pedestal these words appear. My name is Osimandias," another name for Ramses II, "King of kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away." The poem explores the fate of history and the ravages of time and wars. Even the greatest men and the empires they forge are temporary, their legacies fade into oblivion. Can you see poor old Ramses II, Ozymandias? He boasted, but now he's a piece of ruin. Talgad Kadesh and the Orontes River? Could the tears of widows and orphans who wept over their husbands and fathers who were killed here exceed the waters of the Orontes River? Flowing nearby. Ah, there's such a lot of pain. Here at the Ramesseum of Ramses, I asked the question, who inspired him to go and fight King Muvitali? Who inspired him? Who was the instigator in the destruction of Aleppo and the numberless victims? Listen to the following revelation of the history of sin and rebellion. A war broke out in heaven. This was the first war ever recorded. Michael, that's Christ, and his angels fought against the dragon. Dragon is the devil. And the dragon and his angels fought. Now this is a brief history of the great controversy between Satan and Christ in heaven, from its origin to the time of Christ's victory on the cross. But they did not prevail. The devil lost the battle. Nor was place found for them in heaven any longer. And very soon there will be no place for him on this planet. So what happened to the rebellious, destructive enemy of God and his angels? Bad news. So the great dragon was cast out of heaven. That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Heaven is clean. By the way, Satan is to be blamed for the misery we experience in Syria right now and all over the world. The misery we experience as individuals. He is the instigator. It comes from him. It does not come from God. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, that you know that there are many planets with beings who never sinned. Our planet is the only one that made a mess. Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. People live up in the cosmos. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. This is where we are. Woe unto us. Why? For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath. There's no love in him. Because he knows that he has a short time. The Apostle John calls him a murderer from the beginning. His only business is to murder people. He wants to murder you and he wants to murder me. In his dealing with sin, God could employ only righteousness and truth. Satan could use what God could not. What did he use? Flattery and deceit. Had sought to falsify the word of God and had misrepresented his plan of government before the angels, claiming that God was not just in laying laws and rules upon the inhabitants of heaven, that in requiring submission and obedience from his creatures, he was seeking merely the exaltation of himself. He must have time to manifest himself by his wicked works. Propaganda in heaven. My dear Syrian friends, and all who are suffered from this cruel, sadistic enemy, don't despair. In the final execution of the judgment, it will be seen that no cause for sin exists. When the judge of all the earth shall demand of Satan, why have you rebelled against me and robbed me of the subjects of my kingdom? The originator of evil can render no excuse. Every mouth will be stopped, and all the hosts of rebellion will be speechless. The cross of Calvary, while it declares the law immutable, proclaims to the universe that the wages of sin is death. And the Savior's expiring cry, "It is finished," the death knell of Satan was rung. At the cross of Calvary, his power was broken forever. Soon he will be removed. The great controversy, which had been so long in progress, was then decided, and the final eradication of evil was made certain. The Son of God passed through the portals of the tomb, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Lucifer's desire for self-exaltation had led him to say, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. God declares, I will bring you to ashes upon the earth, and never shall you be any more. When the day comes that shall burn as an oven, all the proud, please be humble, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. The whole universe will have become witnesses to the nature and the results of sin. We're going to see it. And its utter extermination, which in the beginning would have brought fear to angels and dishonor to God, will now vindicate his love and establish his honor before a universe of beings who delight to do his will and in whose heart is his law. Never will evil again be manifest. My friend, can you imagine this? Says the word of God, affliction shall not rise up the second time. We've had the experiment. The law of God, which Satan has reproached as the yoke of bondage, will be honored as the law of liberty, amarchi, as the Sumerians calls law of liberty. A tested and proven creation will never again be turned from allegiance to him whose character has been fully manifested before them as fathomless love and infinite wisdom. At the cross of Calvary, love and selfishness stood face to face, Christ and Satan. Only by God's love in dying for sinners, sinners like you and I, could Satan be destroyed. What a price was paid to save you and I. My dear Syrian friends, more than 3,000 years ago, this piece of treaty between nations was signed on Syrian soil. Very soon, another peace treaty will be signed by God. War will never again happen. Righteousness will rule forever. Righteousness will rule forever. May you be part, my dear exile friend, my devastated friend, my sufferer, may you be part of a land where this will never be used to wipe a tear. Father in heaven, thank you for taking charge of our eternal future. Thank you for the demise of the enemies. Thank you for a peaceful existence forever and ever and ever. We pray in Jesus' name to be citizens of the new kingdom. In Jesus' name, Amen.